Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny, special guest today, and you can tell from his background if you're watching on YouTube already. This guy loves selling books. We got Kent with us today, and he's a fellow YouTuber. Kent, introduce yourself. Take us away. Get us right into this episode.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Kent Gentman. I've been selling books on eBay full-time for about 11 years. I was selling out of my house for about 8 years, and then 3 years ago, I bought a commercial building and opened a bookstore in rural Wisconsin. So eBay is still 80% of my income versus the physical bookstore, but it is a great way to source. Most of my inventory I buy on eBay and then sell on eBay, and one of the unique things that I do is I do auctions every night. So every night I have 30 books ending. I start them all at 99 cents plus shipping and no reserves. And yeah, that's what I do.
That's pretty unique. 99 cent auctions. I guess on the idea of like eBay, you've been doing this for 11 years. You got a storefront. What made you decide to get a storefront? And do you just see your storefront as a way to get inventory, or do you still see it as a way to possibly grow your revenue for the next, 5-10 years, however long you plan on doing this?
A little bit of both. I know, Mike, you know that listing books on eBay is not exactly fun, and I would like to do less of it. So if I could replace some of my online income with local sales, that'd be great. At this point, the profit from my bookstore would just about pay the mortgage and all the bills. But there are days that I will sell $50 worth of books here and spend $500 on stuff coming in for people to sell me. So the math doesn't always add up great.
All right. Now I got to ask you questions because I'm a cheapo when it comes to buying other people's books and CDs and DVDs, right? I just say I pay a flat 15 cents a pound. Now, in your line of business, you have more collectible books. I see you got fancy books that are probably more expensive that people are not going to part ways with at 15 cents a pound. Do you comp everything that comes in kind of like a trade-in store, like a Half-Price Books, or do you just say, I'm just going to pay this flat fee based on how many items you bring me?
It really varies. For modern romance and Westerns and stuff for the bookstore, I pay like $5 for a huge box of it. I pay next to nothing because it takes forever to sell. And I already have so much of it. For the older stuff that I can sell on eBay, I might pay $150 or $200 for a really nice Bible that I think is going to bring at least 300. It really varies. And like same with Easton Press books, I might pay 10 or 15 bucks a piece and hope that they're all going to sell for $20 plus. So I am willing to pay up for the older stuff. If I can get some really good quality stuff, I will pay up for it.
Do you only do auctions on eBay, or do you have like normal listings too?
I was working my way up to about 1,000 buy it nows plus the auctions. And now I'm mostly auctions. I think I have about 30 buy it now. So I am slowly building up my buy it nows just with really good quality stuff. It has to be nice condition. It has to be an interesting topic, all of that stuff. So it hopefully, otherwise it's normal in the book industry for your stuff to sit on the shelves or online for years and years and never sell. So I'm done with listing stuff that will never sell. It's a waste of time.
See, I like the turnover with the auction style because it's 7-10 days or something, right? But everybody's initial knee-jerk shock, rip band-aid off reaction is, I don't want to sell stuff for $1 when I know it's worth $100. There is that risk that goes involved with auctions. So what made you decide to take that risk? Like, nope, all auctions all the time, roll the dice, see what happens.
I really don't even know. I think I must have just dabbled. I tried a few things that I thought there was a huge market for, whether it's the Dune books or Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, first edition, Stephen King, stuff like that. You know, there's going to be tons of people looking for it and it's going to be exciting. And that's one of the things you have to, if you're looking for books to auction off on eBay, you're going to want to look up sold comps. And if it's sold 10 or 15 times in the last month, you know there's a lot of interest in it. Similar to what you guys do with Amazon, looking up and seeing how much time it sold in the last 60 or 90 days, to give you an idea of whether or not it's a good candidate for an auction.
See, and what's also interesting with your model is I see a lot of people get caught up in exact pricing with buy it now versus you. Like, no, it's just going to go 99 cents and it's done. There's no research there. Or is there? Am I wrong in that statement?
No, for the most part, I sometimes I look up sold comps just to see, but a lot of times you won't find sold comps. Even if you go back 3 years on eBay, you won't find any sold comps, and maybe you won't find any listed. And I know that really drives people crazy if they can't find any online and there's no sales history of a book online. They think that they have something special, and sometimes that's the case, but a lot of times it isn't.
So you list the book for 99 cents and it doesn't sell the first week of the auction. Does that go into the incinerator pile or does that get relisted?
Good question. So, you know, there are decent books that I put up for auction that just don't get watchers, and they maybe have one or two, maybe one or two watchers and only not too many views and no bids. In that case, I go through the next 3 days of auctions ending, and if there's some that don't have bids, if there's a lot of watchers, I'll leave it up and hopefully it brings more than 99 cents. But if there's no bids and there's like one or two watchers, I'll end it early and maybe put it in the bookstore, but I won't re-upload it on eBay for months because eBay already knows that title and probably that book with that author is a dud.
What got you into books, dude? I mean, you seem like you're passionate about the books. You have a ton of knowledge about books. So you had to, I had to have some kind of book bug bite you many, many moons ago.
So when I was in middle school, I grew up on a little hobby farm in rural Wisconsin, and I started collecting farming and veterinary books. I wanted to be a vet. That hence Animal Vet 52 is my eBay username. Everyone asks me if I'm a vet, and nope, I'm not. So I started collecting old farming and vet books, and I'd go to an auction and buy a box, keep the ones I wanted, and sell the rest. And when I was in college, I was an animal science major, and I just started doing it as a side hustle. And eventually I switched to a business major, and it turned into a full-time thing.
That's a pretty crazy story. I mean, the worst comes to worst, you always can go back and be a vet, and maybe you can have a half veterinarian, half bookstore combo can, the first of its kind in the universe. It's so unique when I see like bookstores that exist. And I'm curious when it comes to overhead, because a lot of booksellers that are passionate about books, like they would love to have a bookstore. When it comes to overhead of actually having a bookstore, maybe some downfalls that maybe people don't think about it when it comes to actually having a store, can you like shed some light on some things that people really don't think about when you say, hey, I want to have a bookstore? It sounds fun and amazing.
Well, I guess the biggest change for me was I'm open Wednesday to Saturday, 10 to 6, closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but I usually work those days anyway. So one of the huge changes was, hey, you either have to be here every day or at least 4 days a week or pay someone to be here. And then I guess as far as overhead, I live here, so it's not really anything too crazy. Got LED lights, so my light bill isn't crazy. But if you were going to either rent a space or buy a space just for your bookstore, it definitely wouldn't be the most profitable business. Now, if you're in the city, or on the main drag somewhere, your rent and building cost is going to be a lot more. You'll sell more, but then your expenses are going to be a lot more. So, that's why I chose to live a little bit more rural and keep my bills down.
I don't blame you. I like the idea of kind of being out in the sticks a little bit because if you got good products and good prices, which you do, I did my research. I looked him up on Google, Johnny, and he's got all these 5-star reviews. People love the man. People will come to you, especially in books, because most people are passionate about books. So you don't sell on Amazon, is that right?
That is correct. I joined the Paper Gold group to learn a little bit about it, and I watch all of your videos and
You're
some of your
wasting
vid
time watching all my videos. Just save your time. Go do
I'm
something that's more
learning.
productive.
I'm learning a lot about selling on Amazon, but it like there's just so many issues as far as ungating. And I know every video say it's easy, it's this simple. And if I actually sat down and tried it and started, I know I'd probably like it and could definitely, you know, I have access to the books. So it could definitely make me some profit, but eBay keeps me busy 8, 9, 10 hours a day.
And you care
Maybe.
about the books. You care about the books, dude. You don't want other people messing around with the books at Amazon, throwing your stuff around. Unlike me, I'm just like, whatever.
Mike, I want you to love the books and become an eBay seller.
I guess it's unfortunate that all right, that's it. The podcast is over. He wants me to become an eBay seller. I gotta go get to work because you gotta work 1,000 hours a week and make little to no money. It's funny because you do see success with eBay with the auctions. And I do think that's such a huge leg up, and people don't get excited about it, but you're actually selling things. And my big kind of motto for the last half of this year and into next year is, you don't make money until the stuff sells. Like, you don't get paid until the stuff sells. You can have a million books, but if none of them ever sell, well, then cool. You just got all your money tied up sitting around doing nothing for you. So I do like the 99-cent auction idea because it moves inventory and you're getting it for next to nothing. So sure, you're not going to knock everyone out of the park, but if you're spending 10 cents and you're making $3 repeatedly, it adds up. But we can't get that in our mind as resellers. We only want to find the gold bars. And I'm here to tell you, no reselling business lives on gold bars. You live on the $3 to $10 profit items.
Yeah, the way I look at it is if maybe you have a $200 book and maybe you pay 40 or 50 bucks for it, are you better off getting that full 200? Or probably if it sits for 3 or 4 years, you're going to heavily discount it anyway. You'd be better off getting 75 to 100 for it next week instead of that 200 years down the road, or more likely never selling it.
Right. I think sell-through rate's king and people get caught up in a little bit more on the ASP, especially just starting out. So how much of your business, well, let me preface this with, you and I both know it has to be a good book to go on eBay. And what's good in most people's eyes is usually trash. So what do you consider a good book to go to your auction?
I mean, it kind of has to be an in-demand topic or author is kind of the big thing, whether it's Stephen King, Charles Dickens, the Dune books, stuff like Dracula and Frankenstein, or other topics, American history, stuff on the Civil War, Native Americans, science and technology, cookbooks. And I guess I mostly deal in books that are pre-1900. I haven't really dabbled in the Hemingways and the F. Scott Fitzgerald and stuff like that. I wish I knew more about that market because that stuff is in high demand and easy to sell. But that's one of the things that I don't know much about at all.
So, getting all these books, do you just pay flat out, or you do a consignment, or do you get donations for the majority of your inventory that ends up at your auctions?
A majority of it comes from eBay and I pay for it outright. People bring stuff in and they always ask me if I do consignment. And occasionally I'll do a consignment deal where they get a certain percentage of the sale price. I did a really big consignment deal for a woman out of Indiana this spring. She got a bunch of books from a movie production company and shipped me 10 pallets of stuff, and that was all on consignment. So and that's sometimes I would prefer that because some people think their stuff is worth insane amounts of money and you end up overpaying for it. In this case, she gets paid directly based off what I sell it for. So that was nice.
So, how many individual auctions do you have going up on a weekly basis? And an auction, for those that aren't aware, we'll consider a listing. So, one book or maybe a lot of books.
Yeah, it's usually individual books, and every day I have 30 ending, except for Tuesday nights. So depending where I do 10-day auctions, so that kind of throws it off. So there's usually anywhere from 220 to 250-ish auctions running at any time.
Okay, so almost 1,000 books a month are getting cycled through eBay. A little shy.
I think I figure like 700 to 800. Yep.
700 to 800. Okay. So yeah, that's gotta keep you busy because you got a high turnover rate. And then how many of those end up not selling? Like, how much are left over of that 800 do you think that don't go out to some other new home?
Not too many. I would say most nights there's maybe anywhere from 0 to 3, 4, 5 on a bad night. If I put up some junkier stuff that isn't interesting, there'll be a few no sales that'll end early. But for the most part, almost everything is selling.
Okay. And do those end up at the storefront, or do they go out some other sales channel, or as Mike said, hit the incinerator?
If they were interesting enough for me to put on eBay, they're probably interesting enough for me to put in the store. But yeah, occasionally they'll go get thrown away.
Fair enough. So when you're buying mainly off eBay, so I'm assuming sometimes you get stuck with, well, junk. Just from it, usually this stuff comes in lots. So what do you do with the junk? Again, do you just trash it, or do you attempt to go in the storefront or some other sales avenue?
Again,
That
anything
that's
that I
every
could.
reseller's problem is, what do you do with the junk?
And my bookstore is overflowing. Most bookstores are overflowing with stuff. They don't need more stuff. So it'll either go to the garbage or Goodwill. If it's not garbage, it'll go to Goodwill.
Have you thought about doing, because you got a storefront, I think it's a unique opportunity to, I don't know, I'm just spitballing ideas that came to my head. If I had a storefront, maybe something I would try, like Whatnot, or even like live streaming, just like every day that you're at the bookstore, just like a 24/7 kind of live stream of when your bookstore is actually open.
Yep, I did a few Whatnot auctions this spring, but then I took 4 months off because I got burned out. And I started doing Whatnot again. I'm Animal Vet 52 on Whatnot as well. I did one the last 2 Tuesdays, and I'm doing one this Tuesday. And I'll probably do a couple of them till I get burned out again, just because Tuesday's supposed to be my night off. But the last 2 weeks, I was live for about 2 hours on Whatnot. Sold like 60 to 70 books and ended up with about $500 after the fees. Fees are only 10%, so that's kind of nice. So yeah, I mean, if I could sell $500 worth of stuff, make a couple hundred bucks profit in the night, it's definitely worth it. I mean, one of the misconceptions with Whatnot is you can't just put up your junk. You can put up some junk, but you also have to filter it in with some good stuff, if you want to make some money.
Employees, do you have any? Do you want to have any? I know, like, some people, they want to build a business and kind of step back. Like, what's your take on, your employee situation and what the future you might be considering?
I have an employee work at the bookstore when I went to a wedding this summer, so they worked a couple days. Otherwise, no employees. I think I'm too neurotic to hire someone to do my listings or take pictures or even the shipping. If I could get over that, it'd be nice to pay someone to come work for an hour or two and do my shipping every day. But for now, it's just me. And my workflow is usually I get up right away in the morning. Do my shipping. That can take anywhere from half hour to an hour or two if there's a lot of stuff and a lot of boxes. Then I will work on taking pictures of the books. I take 12 pictures of every book. Times 30 is 360, and then or is it 360? I should know this. I do it every day. Taking pictures takes a couple hours. Then I type up descriptions for a couple hours. Then I list for a couple hours. Then I usually have a break. Before my auctions end every night from 6:01, 6:02, all the way to 6:30, and then gotta do a little shipping as people pay, and then I'm done for the day. Start it all over in the morning.
All right, I'm gonna throw something crazy out there, and I don't even care about what you damn eBay sellers think of me. Do you think 12 photos for a 99-cent start auction is a little bit high? Like, I feel like if I was doing that, I'd probably maybe do like 4 photos, right? Because everybody's getting a deal on the stuff they're buying, regardless. Because none of it, I mean, sure, there are occasions where you might, but that's like a small percentage to get more than what it would actually sell for normally at a buy it now price on eBay. I feel like 12 photos, man, you are an overachiever. You deserve gold stars. But if that was me, I'm thinking like 4 photos if I'm running 99-cent auctions.
This is why you're an
Well,
Amazon seller, Mike.
yeah. I mean, at a minimum, okay, you are right. At a minimum, you want front cover spine. That could be one photo. You want title page, maybe copyright page. But then I like to show off the contents, show any interesting illustrations, any damage. And 12 used to be the eBay maximum number of photos. Now it's 24. So I still do 12 just to give people a little extra idea of, okay, this is what you can expect in this book, and more condition photos. And occasionally, if I have a huge leather Bible, I will go up to the maximum 24. But yes, as a buyer on eBay, there's some people that just put a picture of the front cover, and that drives me crazy because I'm like, well, that can't really tell too much about the condition or anything from that, unless you're going to have a big description explaining it all. 12 could be excessive. A minimum, yeah, I think minimum would be four.
I'm just trying to get some of your time back, trying to get some of your life back. You're right though, right? And probably if you take, it's not probably, it's guaranteed. If you take less photos, you're gonna have a less sell-through rate because you don't have as much photos. So I rest my case. Go ahead, Johnny.
So for your storefront, I see a lot of bookstores do a couple oddities, but it's considered normal now, is they'll have a coffee shop inside their bookstore, and they'll try to sell disc media, which is CDs and DVDs and records and any other knickknack thing they can get in there, or they do an abundance of community events. Do you go down any of these avenues for your own bookstore?
Well, I was renting space for years at an antique store, so I had some jars and buttons and knick-knacky stuff. So I still have a couple shelves of that in the back. Trying to think what else. I don't sell coffee. I would maybe get a coffee maker and give away coffee for free because people tell me all the time, "Hey, you should get a coffee in here." They tell me I
Coffee
need
and
to.
books seem to go together these days. Thanks, Barnes and Noble.
And they tell me I need to get a cat or two, a bookstore cat, which
Wandering
I
cat.
haven't got to that yet, but maybe eventually.
You know what would be better than wandering cats? Wandering iguanas, jumping from shelf to shelf.
I don't know how they'd like it here in Wisconsin.
Well, it's true. Cold, baby.
It's too cold, man, that the iguanas won't survive. But cats, yes, I agree with coffee. Johnny's there. I mean, you better have a lot of supply for the amount of coffee Johnny drinks on a daily basis. You need like that XXXL
One's
Keurig.
for me, the rest is for all the other customers throughout the day.
The K-cups are like this big because Johnny's there for the day.
So do you do any events, store-wide
Oh,
events?
no, I've been asked about authors coming to doing readings and signings and stuff, and I don't have a ton of space. My bookstore is kind of, it's only 1200 square feet. And then I asked, someone asked, they're hosting a book club here in town. Actually, it sounds pretty interesting. It's a James Bond book club. They're going to go through all the Ian Fleming books. So I might host them at some point. I think that'd be kind of a cool thing to do.
Yeah, there's so much opportunity that we don't think about as resellers. And especially when it comes to having the storefront, you got to think a little bit outside the box and do different things to kind of get people in the store. And I'm curious, when you first started, right? Like, how long, you probably remember this, like, how long did it take for you to actually sell your first item from like in the actual physical store?
I mean, actually, so I opened in May, and there was people stopping in here because I have a huge sign out by the highway. So I mean, I was selling stuff right away. I put an ad in the paper. Otherwise, I don't invest anything into marketing. It's probably a bad idea, but I have a huge sign by a highway that 20,000 cars drive by every day. And most months are pretty consistent here. Selling 3 to 4,000. I had no idea what to expect, a bookstore kind of in the middle of nowhere, what to expect out of it.
Yeah,
But I'm
it's
happy
cold
where I,
too.
and you know, I do have tons of customers that come every month or 2 or 3 months and buy stuff. So I would like to think that my sales will steadily grow over the years.
For sure, for sure. It's a slow process, kind of, like building this podcast up. You start with two people listening, and then you get 10 people listening. But I think, I guess I gotta know, like, is this the lifelong plan for you, Ken, is to be in this bookstore and be the main guy in there? Or do you have plans to kind of maybe move to a bigger location, or maybe get the employee and take a step back and kind of just be the face that does maybe the whatnot shows, or more active on the YouTube channel? Like, what's the future look like for you, and like, what do you want it to kind of look like?
I mean, I would really love to just have the physical bookstore and make a living off of that and do a little bit online to supplement that. I don't know if that's realistic at all. A lot of the booksellers that have been in the business for decades at this point, I ask and they tell me that online versus local is about 50-50. Now mine's way skewed towards online since I've more experience online. I mean, I love my location here. I'm considering putting on an addition, but I don't want to jump too
Okay,
headlong
you can
into
keep
that.
that one. Would you add an additional one? An additional bookstore, maybe with bigger store frontage?
No, I don't want 2 buildings. I want to put an addition on here for more retail space, though. I don't know what it's going to translate to as far as higher sales.
I think
Yeah.
we're having some audio
Yeah, it
issues.
was you're breaking
Oh,
up a little bit here.
there you are.
Okay,
Now you're
good now.
back.
Okay. So I would love to put an addition on this building. I wouldn't want to maintain two buildings and have two locations that I got to be running. I already love waking up and I'm at work. I love that aspect of this. So I would love to put an addition on this building and have more retail space and more storage, though I don't know what that will translate to as far as higher sales here. The sales would go up, I would assume, just having more stuff available, but I don't know if it's going to bring, it's not, I don't know if more people are going to come in because my store's bigger.
Do your friends and family think you're crazy for having a bookstore?
No, I think they know I've made money online with it. And I saved up some money to put some equity from my previous house into this building, so it wasn't really a financial risk. But yeah, I mean, it's not a business you're going to get into to get rich, that's for sure.
I guess you got like a tangible storefront versus somebody like me. I just tell them I ship them off to some fairy land and the stuff sells. So like, I guess you can be like, hey, I got a storefront. You want to come down? Me, I'm just like, oh, I don't know where the stuff goes. I just get paid every once in a while. It would be cool to have a bookstore though. So all right, so you want to keep the bookstore? You want to grow the bookstore sales more than the online sales? Now back to the eBay. Do you promote your auctions? Can you even promote auctions on eBay? This is how antiquated I am.
Yes, you can. And you used to be able to pay a flat $2.50 to promote your auction. Now they switched it to a percentage. And in the past, I would promote one or two a month if there was a really good book that maybe was an obscure title, but I'm like, hey, this should bring $100 plus. I would pay the $2.50 to promote it. But now it's a percentage, and eBay would like you to promote at like the 9-10%. That's the standard for the category. And I'm not willing to do that. Actually, I just got an email from someone at eBay, some customer service rep that wanted to talk to me about promoting my auctions. And they mentioned that you actually don't have to promote at like the 9.2% for the category. You could promote at 2 or 3%, but no, I don't have any interest in paying eBay more fees to get my items out there.
I promote my stuff at 2%, and just because it's like now the going rate, right? Because the argument is, well, if the three of us all promote at 2%, then you're really not getting no promotion because it's just eBay getting more
The
money.
same thing, exactly.
Yeah, eBay, instead of eBay tracking down more sellers and more buyers for the platform, they want to get more money from the same, actually, probably from a shrinking number of sellers.
So I'm going to talk about probably the least considered thing for future bookstore owners. Talk to me about parking, Kent. How many parking spaces can your store facilitate?
I got a pretty big parking lot. I could fit 20 cars out there, though
Nice.
it's busy if there's three, four, five cars out there.
Right, exactly. But you got room for the trailer guy who wants to sell you his trailer's worth of books. If so, if the time ever were to arise.
People have suggested I do like a flea market weekend to get people here, do a flea market, have people come set up with their cars and trailers and stuff. But I don't know. I know people love the community aspect of bookstores and bringing people together for poetry readings and book signings and stuff or music. But that's just not my personality.
So, how many lesser bookstore owners are around your area? How many competitors do you have?
Well, I wouldn't say lesser, but other
Competitors.
bookstores. There is one on Main Street here in Marshfield. Marshfield's a city of 20 some thousand people. They've been around for 20 years, and I think already, I hope they're not, I'm sure they're not listening. I hope they're not listening. Already, I think my sales have probably surpassed theirs, and they've been in the business for 20 years. Though they mostly deal in modern romance, mysteries, Western, stuff like that.
Gotcha. So here's an oddball question. When I started looking into bookstores, I noticed this in abundance. People were offering stationery classes and/or selling stationery stuff. I looked at that. I'm like, I'm not doing this. But it seems to be like a nationwide thing for bookstore owners to do now. Why do you think this is? It blew my mind when I was reading about this.
Well, I would say a lot of people buying at bookstores are slightly more female, more, 20s, 30s, 40s, and they probably also like that stuff. I sell earrings for my friend Becky here. I have them sitting right at the front table, and there'll be people that will come. A lady just came in and bought earrings and not a single book. So, and I also sell records. Oh, I forgot. I sell records. What else? I sell tin signs. I have little tin decorative signs for $10 a piece. And I mean, there's some days that I sell more signs than books.
Nice. No, I mean, yeah, I've noticed that too. It's probably about 70% female as far as my bookstore shoppers and 30% male that walked in, and negative percent for children. I don't count children at all.
If I lived in the area, would you rent me out like a corner of your bookstore where I could try to sell my duds?
If I had more space, I would, but I have negative space right
You're
now.
up on the
So
roof with the snow
I
bay.
would pay you for the space though, man. Like it's not like I'm just deciding on it for free.
I would maybe rent you out a shelf, see what
Say,
happens.
say, yeah, because I my antique shops around me, they want like $90 for 3 foot bookshelf of space. It's absolutely ridiculous how expensive it is to get into some of these antique shops, and I don't have a lot around me. So, I mean, it could be another option, maybe, another bookseller in your area. I got a bunch of crazy. Don't listen to me, Ken. I'm probably going to sink your business, right? Then we got like live bands playing on Friday nights, and I'm in there signing Nora Roberts books, and I'm not even Nora Roberts book signing, and they show up and it's me, and they're like, "What the hell is going on?" My bookstore would not last. It's so interesting to see. I mean, I guess I'm just going to be blunt with you. And you're not going to offend me. It's impossible to offend me. So you can shoot straight with me here. And how do you feel about people like me who don't care about books and just come in and scan books and take the profitable ones and send them off to Amazon and make money doing that?
I mean, I don't have a problem. I had a guy last summer that wanted to come in and scan my books. And actually, if I do a big buyout of an estate or something, I would let him go through the books and scan and take what he wanted. And we have very different interests. You're selling the barcode books. I prefer the older stuff, though I sell modern stuff in my store. I would gladly sell you anything you thought you could make money on, though. I will say you could just as well be selling crock pots or coffee makers or whatever you and you can. If you see a crock pot you can make money on Amazon, you may as well buy it and try to sell it.
That's so true, and it's tough. And I know, like, if we probably just look at the people that follow me on social media versus you, the bookstore owner. You got the people that are passionate about the books, and I got the people that are more like, I just want to make a few bucks on the side. And I don't think there's a right or wrong to it. What do you think of the term book dealer? Because all the libraries I work with, I don't know, man. The term book dealer, I growing up in the city, like dealers are people that sell drugs, right? So like. When you're like, oh, are you a book dealer? I'm always like, no, I don't like the term book dealer, just like I don't like the term reseller. I think they're both like antiquated and in my eyes, like I wouldn't say derogatory. It's just an antiquated term. They're like, oh, you're a book dealer. I'm like, no, I sell these online to support my family and my kids, aka my cats.
So what term would you use to describe? I would consider, okay, at this point I'd consider myself a bookstore owner, though online is more of my income and what I spend most of my time doing. So I guess I'm an online bookseller.
Entrepreneur, small business owner, anything besides those two terms of reseller or book dealer. I mean, where did I wonder where the term book dealer even like.
No, it's an actual thing. Like people deal in books to you used to go to them to get a buy list or add your name to a buy list, and they circle the United States to find you a book.
Well, that's why Sears went out of business with their damn catalogs. It's the same thing here with the book dealer. I don't know. It's just a weird term. And when I work with libraries, like all the ladies, like, are you a book dealer? And I'm like, no. I immediately shoot it down. I don't even entertain them. I'm like, no, I'm not a book
You should go
dealer.
to a book fair and ask what they call those people.
Would you do? I guess you'd call yourself an Amazon seller then?
I'm an entrepreneur, small business owner. I don't even got to give them the details of where I sell. I just try to keep it vague, but in a term, I guess that I just feel like book dealer. I feel like I've called myself a book dealer. I immediately feel like I'm
You're in
95 years old.
e-commerce. It's just your e-commerce is books and this media.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like I don't know, it's a dated term. I think there's a new wave of booksellers coming, Kent and
We can't
Johnny.
make you go to a
And
book fair, Mike?
we don't want to be called book dealers. We want something that's more hip, cool. I don't know. Book dealer is like a door-to-door salesman idea. I'll be curious. I'm gonna ask people on our next call, like, what do we think of the term book dealer? Would you consider yourself a book dealer?
No, because I don't deal with a clientele list. Kent probably out of the three S is the closest to an actual book dealer.
Yeah, I guess I used to call myself an antique book dealer, but now I sell everything, so.
Sell everything. What's your do you have like a collection of books? That's a good one. I always like to get people jammed up because people like you are passionate about books and you're like, man, I love this author. I love these books. Do you have like a secret room in the back somewhere where it's like you pull a book out, the door spins around, and it's like your amazing collection of books?
Yeah, I do have a book collection. And actually, that's probably one of my biggest hindrance in my business is I tend to keep the better stuff, the more expensive stuff that I could get lots of money for if I sold it. So that kind of takes a cut to my business, not selling that stuff. And I do have shelves of books, and I actually have three safes. They're big gun safes, but I put books in them to keep the really expensive stuff safe. And I collect, obviously the farming and vet stuff. I have old medical books, American history stuff. I really like collecting early American printed books, so books printed in America from the, kind of 17 early 1700s to late 1700s. I really like that stuff. And they're mostly religious books, but I just like that they're printed from that era.
Now, do you collect them or do you read and then put them in the safe, kind of collect them? There are
I
people that just put them on a shelf to, like, I own this. They never read it.
maybe this is crazy, but I haven't read like any of the books in my collection.
Okay, so you're just a collector. You're not a collector
Yeah.
animal. Gotcha.
Yep. Yep. They look nice and they're interesting topics, and that's why I have them.
Fair enough.
Are the books always better than the movies?
Yes. Not always. I'd say mostly better.
Gladiator is probably the exception. Horrible book, fantastic movie.
Oh, they just came out with the Gladiator 2, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, there's a new one with Denzel in there.
Okay.
I've had a different experience with reading books of my favorite movies. The books for me, they suck. I don't know what it is, right? Like, I read the Jaws book. I thought the book sucked compared to the movie. I didn't really like the book at all. I read like the original Halloween horror trade paperbacks. It doesn't do it for me. I mean, I guess there are some, exceptions to the rules, but for me, I don't know, it's just one of those things where the books, and I'm not a big reader. I prefer to read like financial books, I'm the Dave Ramsey guy, retirement books. So on the topic of retirement and the future of your bookstore, so you want to get this business to a point where you're making 50-50 split. Do you think once you get there, you're going to have the store open 7 days a week, and that's when maybe when you get the revenue closer to 50-50, you bring on an employee so you can be open an extra day a week? Because right now, this is it, right? You live, sleep, eat, breathe the bookstore, the online business. And I always challenge everybody, me and Johnny always like to challenge everybody is, well, is this Kent for the next 60 years? Like this can't be the solution, Kent. I know you enjoy doing it now, but 50 years from now, there's something a little bit different's got to be going on.
Yeah, interesting question. Well, right now the store's only open 4 days a week. It's closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but I'm almost always here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday working. I turn the open sign on and can usually catch a couple customers. Yeah, at some point I guess it would be smart for me. I've just never hired an employee except for the one that works 5 days a year when I have to be away. But yeah, I definitely need to think more and put more effort into hiring someone that could, I
Just
mean,
get a
especially.
shipper. Let's start small. Just get the shipper. They just got to put book and box, label, mail. That's all they got to do.
Especially, there's no fun aspects of being an eBay seller. Taking pictures, listing, shipping isn't, there's nothing fun about it. It pays the bills. So if I could outsource that, I would, I mean, I'd like being a bookseller more.
Getting the shipper is the first part of letting go.
Yeah, it's like a 12-step process. But I'm just thinking to myself, like, dude, what happens if you get sick, man? Like, what happens if you come down with a cold or like you fall off the roof or something, and like you're just in there in like the hospital bed still checking people out or what? Like,
Yeah, that's the tough thing about being a one-man band is yeah, if you're not working, if I don't work for a day, I'm not making any money.
yeah, it's tough. It's like everything falls on your shoulders, but there's fruits, right? You put in the time today, so down the road, you can reap the rewards, right? You started with your social media, your Facebook page, your bookstore. You started with zero. It was just you. You didn't know if anybody was going to come in the store. So you put the time and effort in to build it where it is. And now you're just at that point where you're thinking about, all right, what's the next step look like? Really, can I basically photocopy myself and have Kent 2.0 in here working with me to kind of, do different things and get a little bit of your time back?
So here's probably my final question for you. Can you give me three tips for running a good online auction business and three tips for running a great bookstore?
Okay, online quality inventory, that's number one. You have to have interesting stuff at decent prices. I think with me, the auctions, when I did have more buy it nows, it helped. It was basically free advertising because people would come click on my cheap Stephen King book and go and see my buy it now Stephen King books, and they would self-promote instead of paying for promoted listings to get views. All of my online stuff kind of cross-promotes it. What else for online? I'll have to come back for number three. As far as having a good bookstore, prices. I mean, you got to have decent prices. I know the other bookstore in town gets $8 for a hardcover. I get four. Everything else, the good stuff, I make crazy profit on the modern romance mystery stuff like that, but then I'll cut my profit really small on the more interesting stuff. I just bought a bunch of stuff wholesale, some new books, Jane Austen, and just really great titles, occult books. And I cut my profits really slim on that really good stuff in hopes that people will buy one of those that I don't make much on, and then also buy some junk that I make 90 some percent profit on. Prices, dun, dun, dun. I mean, just having interesting stuff, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, your reviews kind of sum it up. You got to treat people how you want to be treated. You take care of the customers, they come back, they take care of you in the form of buying books. And as long as they're at good prices, you could even argue you could raise prices if you have good service. But I'm all for the brain you have when it comes to selling items. Even if that means we take a little bit less money, you're still getting money coming back in. And as booksellers, in the years of my experience of dealing with booksellers, some of us can't disconnect or accept the fact that sometimes you got to take a little bit of the money today instead of trying to hold out and get all of the money 35 years from now. And it just doesn't work out the way. I'm in the mindset of let's sell this stuff, right, as fast as we possibly can because we're not getting paid. And we don't even, the people I'm talking about don't have the overhead of an actual bookstore, right? So these are people that are just, well, I can just let it sit in my garage for 2 years. And I think to myself, like, don't you get tired of looking at this stuff for like 2 years? Like, do you have, I'm curious, do you have like a certain section of books or like a book that you see every day in the store that's been there since you opened the store and you're just ready to just throw the thing out because you're tired of looking at it?
Yeah, the romance section, there's piles on the floors, and I just trucked it all to Goodwill, everything on the floor, because that stuff is sitting there forever. And with bookstores, stuff could sit for decades and never sell. And it's like, well, why have it here if it's never going to sell? And that's one thing I love about the auctions on eBay is I'm making a profit on almost every book I sell. Occasionally I'll take a loss. There's probably a few losses every month. But you're better off if you're going to put in the time and effort to list the book, you're better off making that small profit today versus never selling it or making a bigger profit years from now. The math, I mean, most online sellers, you guys see all the YouTube videos about eBay sellers, their sales down, down, down. They're putting in the effort, they're working hard, and sales are just going down, down. Even with eBay clothing sellers, if you buy clothes at the right price, auction it off, get 10 or 15 bucks for something you'd price at 30, and have it gone, not taking up space, because my eBay business is just those four shelves behind me. It circulates. So, like, tonight's auctions are right there, then tomorrow night's. And as they empty out, I just refill them. So, this is all the space I need to sell. Most nights, I'm selling an average of over $700 a night. And this is all I need for that income.
You're crushing it, man. I mean, you got everything working and you're still working on building up the storefront revenue. So, I mean, the future is bright for this young man here.
I try to, I mean, I know auctions don't work for everyone, but if you have the right stuff that, I mean, I follow, just because I'm buying on eBay, I really kind of have my ear to the ground knowing what's going on. And there's people that will have only one item. It'll be a really good antique Bible. They have three feedbacks and they'll get $300 for it on auction. Anyone can do it if they have the right stuff.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big benefits you have too about being passionate about books and like somebody like myself who I say it all the time. I don't even know who is, wait, is Alice in Wonderland a book, right? It's a book. It was originally a book. I don't even know who
And
wrote
Through the
Alice in
Looking Glass.
Wonderland. I don't
Through
even
True
know.
Books.
I think Wizard of Oz was Frank Baum, right? I'm getting smarter
Yeah,
here.
yeah.
Well, you know books, Mike. I'm so
Dude,
proud of you.
watch out. Wizard of Oz, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss wrote Dr. Seuss. I mean, come on now.
Mike, I would love to mail you a box of books and have you auction them off on eBay and just see what happens.
I got, all right, I'm gonna break your little heart, Kent. When I do bulk pickups, I am now to the point where if it doesn't got a barcode, it gets donated. I don't even
Fair
look at
enough.
them, Kent. I don't even look at them.
That
I don't
doesn't
know what they
upset
are.
that it doesn't upset me. I realize your time is money and it's not worth looking up everyone because 98% of them are going to be trash anyway.
I've
So
looked
is
at
it
so
worth
many non-barcode books, and very little of them are worth money.
I just don't have the knowledge base, and I guess it's, I'm going to say ignorance is bliss, I guess, but I just don't want to sit down and spend the time looking up, you know, what's profitable. Like if I could just have your brain, I'd be A-okay with it, right? But I'm just a scanner guy. I just want to scan as many things as I can. So if I do have to stop, and I used to have piles of stuff to look up on eBay, and it just never, the math never mathed for me, but I don't even waste time looking at them more. And I know for a fact I'm just donating money. So you have the leg up over somebody like me who's just in it for the money, a greedy little bugger, because you understand if somebody brings in a box of non-barcoded books, you probably already have an idea of, okay, this is probably what I'm going to be able to get for it. This is what I can pay for it. Versus me, I got to sit there with every book and open the copyright page and look it up on eBay. And it's brutal if you don't have the knowledge trying to sell antique books.
Yeah, and I'm the same way on Amazon. I'm missing out on barcode books that I could be making crazy money on. But the thought of learning the different programs, learning the apps, is overwhelming for me.
Yeah, there is a lot of software when we're talking Amazon, to be fair. There's a lot.
It'd be easier to learn the software than it would be to learn all the knowledge you have in your head, though.
Yes, but see, he likes the knowledge he learns in there. I'm not sure we like the software knowledge outside of the money aspect.
This is true. This is true. But I mean, there are benefits to being a brainiac about books, and it's a passion project. And if you can make money on it, right? That's the whole reason we do this.
Ideally, you could team up one eBay seller and an Amazon seller and work together and go through an estate of books and each pick through, but that doesn't always work.
Nah, man. What's your take on, like, do you go to like any library sales?
No, mostly because they're on days and times that I have to be at the bookstore. The last couple months here, I've got a few opportunities to buy big collections. One was a estate sale company that wanted me to take all the books before the sale. There was like 6,000 books. We couldn't agree on a price. The next was a lady that inherited over 100 boxes of books, and then there was a church that was getting rid of about 100 boxes of books. So those definitely keep me busy for a while.
You do store credit at your store? Like, say if somebody brings boxes, like, do you just pay everybody in cash, or do you say, oh, I can give you more if you do store credit?
Yep, most people want cash, so I just pay them cash. And I'm one of the few stores in central Wisconsin that are actively paying cash. Most will only do store credit, and they're really picky about what they take. I will take all your books. If you got 50 boxes, I'll take them all.
That's
Give
how
me
you
some
do it right
cash.
there. Cash is money,
Yeah,
and you take it all.
that's right.
Absolutely.
You don't get the Stephen King books if you're only doing store credit because
Yeah.
people aren't giving away their Stephen King unless you're paying for it.
So outside of the online sourcing, what is probably your next go-to in physical? You got to go there kind of places. Is it estate sale, libraries, I don't know, antique booth malls?
I do go to antique stores and bookstores. There's maybe three bookstores that I like to go to several times a year, but one's 4 hours north, one's in the Twin Cities, that's 2.5 hours, one's 2 hours south of here. So it's a hike to any of the bookstores that I like shopping at. I do occasionally go to estate sales, but again, they're always at times that I have to work, so it's really inconvenient. And then I would say, since I opened the store, my favorite thing is people bringing stuff in. Every week, people are bringing in stuff, and occasionally, really, really good stuff too.
Do you do library sales, or that's just not on the list of things you need to source from?
No, I don't. And again, there aren't too many in central Wisconsin, and they're usually pretty small. I know there's one in Madison, which is 3 hours south here. That's massive. But I've never been there. I hate the competition of a line of dealers, 20 deep, and you got to get there 2 hours ahead of time, and then you got to run. I know Mike has his tips for getting in early and stuff, and that works. But no, I don't have any relationships like with thrift stores or anything at this point.
So you need to leverage the fact you got a little bookstore in the middle of nowhere. People will be throwing their books at you, these libraries and these thrift stores. But hey, you're the one man marching band for the time being, so you can't do it quite yet. But I could see that definitely being a huge source of inventory in the future, because if they're willing to give me a carload of books and fill up my 2008 Altima, and I don't have a bookstore and I don't have the knowledge, you can go in and have a conversation about somebody with books, and they ask me anything about books, and I'm like, I never read Mr. Hemingway. He sounds like a nice gentleman, but yeah, you have that huge leg up over somebody like me. So I know the possibilities are there for you to make a. I know you kind of said you're not going to get rich off books, but I disagree. I think we can get very rich off books and media in general.
Now he's right, because all the librarians I dealt with when I had the brick and mortar store open, they got really excited once I told them, yeah, I got a physical location. It's here. You want to see a photo? I don't know. They just like lit up like, you're one of us. You're one of us.
It's cool to have a bookstore, and I could maybe in a different lifetime I would have a bookstore, but not this lifetime for me. I enjoy the convenience of just sending them away. So I'm just going to wrap it up here. Kent, we appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing your bookstore. We'll have all of your links down below in the description and the comment section and the YouTube channel. Make sure you go support fellow bookselling YouTubers. It's hard out here for us, all right? Not many people are in the book, so it's a slow grind of growing our channels. But we appreciate you coming on, and yeah, we look forward to seeing. Maybe we'll have you back next year and see kind of how it's progressed. I'm sure it will be. You'll probably have an employee by then. You'll be doing all kinds of other stuff. So yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast today.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.